Welcome to the May 22nd, 2015 Jubilize Me podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I'm
your hostess, Amber Matz.
And your host, Kyle Hoffmeyer.
Addison Berry. I am your hostess.
Guess what time it is? It's time for another Jubilize Me podcast.
Everybody, I am your hostess for this week's podcast. I am Addison Berry, and I have with me today a boggle of bots. I just made that up. I was thinking of like gaggle of geese, and then I just came up with boggle of bots. I'm so creative, aren't I? So we have a whole bunch of bots because we're going to talk about DrupalCon LA, which just happened last week, and it was awesome, and there were a whole lot of lullabots there. So I grabbed a handful of them to share some thoughts and experiences and sort of dig into some of the stuff that happened. So let's run down who I have with me on the line. We have Greg Dunlap.
Hi there.
And we have Matthew Tift.
Hello.
We have Chris Albrecht.
Hi, Addie.
We have first-timer Helena Zubkow.
Hi, everyone.
And Will Hetherington.
Hello, everyone.
Boom. Well, thanks, everybody. We're just going to kind of dive straight into this. Most of Lullabot was at DrupalCon Los Angeles last week. Really big event. The North American ones are big. It's like around 3,000 people, I guess. There's a lot of stuff going on. Some people went to sessions. Some people had lots of other conversations. They were sprinting. There was all kinds of stuff that was going on. So I'm just going to kind of open it up and have everybody sort of share their experiences, and we'll see what the stuff was. So what was some of the big stuff, or some of the favorite stuff, or some of the annoying stuff that happened?
Well, for me, I know this was, I think, my 8th or 9th DrupalCon. My first one was DC. So obviously things have changed a lot since then. It's really great to see how DrupalCons have become like well-oiled machines at this point, which is really great because that was definitely not always the case. And I give a lot of credit to the DA for that because they've really taken the process of putting on cons and turned it into something that is, you know, sustainable with a staff behind it, rather than sort of relying on local communities and in some cases burning them out and in the process mm-hmm. to do a con. And I think that's awesome. And I love it. Coming out of this con in specifically, I mean, I had a lot of fun. I saw lots of my favorite people in the whole world. And that's always great. But I think most of my thoughts coming out of this con were kind of coalesced around Dries's keynote, which kind of struck me the wrong way. There's been sort of a meme in technology in recent years that has really bothered me, and it's kind of about how taking people out of processes is a good thing. I've heard Dries talk about this in keynotes before. For instance, in his keynote in Austin, he was talking about technology and how we could buy things online and all of your preferences and what you like would be presented to you and you would never have to talk to anybody about it. And then in this keynote, he was talking about education, how the problem of education is that, oh, all these people have to travel so far to get to schools and, you know, all of this kinds of thing. And wouldn't it be great if we could just have like one teacher and we could teach 10,000 people? And I don't think that would be great, honestly. I mean, we're talking about taking whole classes of workers and eliminating them in one swoop, and you know, and this is continuing as technology goes, and you know, to some extent, this has been a thing about technology for years. For instance, you know, I come from the publishing industry, and there are a lot of people who had difficulty making the transition in publishing from print to digital, just in terms of skill sets like photographers and artists. and illustrators and stuff like that. Going from pen and ink to Photoshop is a very different experience, and not everybody was able to take to it. But even then, you know, these people, their careers still existed. I mean, I saw a thing the other day that's been going around about self-driving trucks, and how truck driving is one of the biggest, like, employers in the entire country, and in like two-thirds of the states in the country, that's the biggest employer. And I think that as technologists, it's up to us not only to think of ways to make life better, and obviously self-driving trucks will have a lot of benefits in terms of efficiency and safety and things like that, but to think about the ramifications of people in their lives and our economies and our culture of doing that work. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And Teresa's keynote touched on a lot of those things in what I felt was the wrong way, because it just says to me that you know, you're viewing this technological future that to you seems like a paradise, but to me it seems much more like Blade Runner, you know, this future is much more dystopian than it is paradise to me. And you know, I mean, that's not really his fault. He's got a view of the future, and I've got a view of the future, and his doesn't match with mine. But on the other hand, you know, this is a guy who 5 years ago at San Francisco gave a speech that basically I found so inspiring that it made me want to become a core developer, that it pushed me to do things like lead the CMI initiative and get more involved, and who has been a community leader, who has been a voice of, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And I find those two messages conflicting, honestly, a lot of times now. And that doesn't sit well with me. It's not, I don't know if it's a criticism of him or his keynotes or what it is, but it was definitely the thing that I found myself talking about with people continually throughout the week, and that stuck in my mind.
What did other people think of the keynote? Like, what things struck you about the keynote?
It was my first DrupalCon, and so it was really interesting. I actually really enjoyed, you know, the history portion of Teresa's keynote. It gave me all kinds of context that I didn't have. You know, you could go and read about it, but it was a nice succinct way to get an idea of the history of Drupal and how it's grown. I mean, one of the interesting things that Greg said was, you know, it's really nice to get down there and meet all of these awesome people. And I totally agree. So, you know, his keynote was fun for the history of it all. And that was particularly interesting to me, because it's not something I've been a part of for a long time. So I found that, you know, really useful. I think a lot of people that probably were attending, you know, may have fallen asleep at various points in that section, mainly because, you know, they've heard it before, or that knowledge is just so ingrained in their heads. But you know, for someone with fresh eyes like myself, it was really good.
Cool. Anyone else have thoughts on that stuff?
I guess I had a similar reaction to what Greg is describing. I too remember being back at the San Francisco DrupalCon and feeling quite inspired. And that was really when I first started making attempts to become involved in core development. And I felt a little bit less inspired this time, but it could just be that I've, you know, been to a number of these now. And I think also part of it for me is that the influence of big businesses, and when Dries was talking about taking things and ideas from Pinterest and Pandora and Facebook, for some reason that resonated less with me, because it felt like we were getting our inspiration from these big products and less that community feel that I had felt previously.
Yeah, I get the whole like push versus pull part of things. For me, that always just makes me think of like Minority Report when he's walking down and all of these ads are like attuned to him personally. And it's just like, I don't want to live in that universe if I can avoid it. And like, that's what I think of. Like, there's, you know, the good side of it, which is what Dries was portraying and could be great in a lot of ways. But there's also other sides to how that kind of thing is used. And I feel like in this day and age, you know, maybe I'm just a pessimist by heart anyway, but like, to me, that's how it's going to be used, not for my benefit, unless it's also benefiting somebody else with a lot of money. And I also, and it's, and I guess sort of like the, another thing, which is a whole other tangent to get into, and I don't necessarily need to, but the whole education thing, of course, like I'm in the education space and in the ed tech space, essentially, by providing online video training. And so, of course, that's like a big part of my world and a part of my future at this point. But I have a very, I feel like a lot of people look at online education as some kind of silver bullet that's going to save the world. And I feel like that's a very dangerous, dangerous way to approach it. Now, granted, it's also, he's mentioning this kind of thing in a keynote, and it's not like he can get into these topics deeply and stuff like that. And I do think that, that Dries's heart and interest is in making the world better. I really believe that of him as the person that he is and things like that. So I don't want it to come across that I feel like he's, you know, some kind of like evil overlord who's who's trying to like push an agenda to take over the world or something like that. But I do think, and it was interesting, like, I mean, one of the things I was talking with my wife, Camilla, about this, and we were just talking about, I mean, she's like, one of the things about keynotes is to get people to think and to talk. And I do think, like, here we are talking about these things, right? And so I think, like, if nothing else, I think that is a good thing to sort of put something out there for people to push against. Even if you don't agree with it, maybe that's a good thing to make conversations happen. So in that sense, I think it was a successful keynote in that it made people talk about it all week long.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that I agree with you that obviously I don't think Dries is a bad person, and I do agree with you that he probably definitely wants to make the world a better place, and that continues to be his inspiration. And you know, to some extent, this is just about this. My reaction was just tying into stuff I've been thinking about lately, and it made me think about it more. But it's also the tendency of us in technology to not spend a lot of time taking the next step about what's going to happen to the world if we do this. What could happen to the world if we do this? Yeah. What is the impact? What is the impact in the world going to be when we do things aside from the good parts? You know, I mean, hey, I would love to shop and have all of my needs met without speaking to other human beings too, right? But you know, I understand the place of these people in the world, and I understand the place of this people in the economy, and I feel like we have a duty to take those things and think about the possible ramifications, the possible downsides, what happens if Skynet happens, you know, all of this kind of stuff, and think about it more and take our own personal kind of ethics and views of the world and just pull them together more and think about them more deeply. And that's something that's been, it's really been on my mind a lot lately. I'm actually giving a talk about this at Open Source Bridge. And, you know, so it may be just that Dries's keynote triggered a lot of stuff that I've already been thinking about lately. And as you say, from that standpoint, maybe, you know, obviously it's a success, but it's still definitely triggered a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm curious, did anybody watch the second day keynote, Whitney Hess's keynote?
Oh yeah, I've really enjoyed that one a lot. And this really stood out to me because it's starting to separate technology from the people who make it. I can kind of segue into that from Dries's keynote, and that it feels like there's a strange dichotomy happening right now where we're going between building the framework to having a product in Drupal 8. There's a separation between development and site building. And Drupal 8 is going to really make it very easy to build a site without having to plug in any or very few contributed models or write any of your custom code, while Drupal 7 is very much the opposite of that. I think you can take that entire system and sort of push that into what we saw in LA here, and that you have a big keynote by Whitney Hess about just who we are as people. And that reminded me of the podcast, Greg, that you did about mental health and open source. And we're seeing that we're focusing a lot more on people now, even though Dries's keynote sort of had that separation of, like, you know, don't build the system, suck in all the other systems and build. So it was very strange to me to have that sort of split. I wasn't ready for it, I don't think, but it was very refreshing at the same time. Yeah, I would definitely, if you didn't catch it, go back and watch it. Everything's up on YouTube. It was really, I took a lot of notes during this. It was really refreshing and helpful to know that I'm not the only one out there. I saw a lot of myself in some of the stories she told about, kind of overstepping your boundaries at times and knowing when to pull back. So I took a lot away from that one. That was probably one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, and I should also point out all of the sessions from DrupalCon are up on YouTube, and we'll put a link in the podcast notes so you can go find those. But there's a lot of great sessions you can watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that in general, not just Dries has his heart in the right place, but I think it is always good to talk to people at DrupalCons because I feel like just about everybody that I meet. I mean, it's much more common to find people that seem like they're really trying to do the right thing. And it does create for some interesting discussions when we have very different ideas about how to do what we view as the right thing.
I agree. I think the sense of community at DrupalCon is really one of the most valuable experiences about going, because people from all different companies sharing knowledge and skills and having fun together, it's really an amazing thing, seeing other professionals and other companies in our field, not necessarily as competitors, but as members of the extended Drupal family, and having that opportunity to bond with each other and learn from each other is just the highlight for me, really. I think it's important to build positive relationships across organizations and invest in the Drupal community rather than just our own organizations, because, at the end of the day, a rising tide lifts all boats, and I definitely felt that alive and well at DrupalCon. So,
yeah. I spend a lot of time. I mean, actually, I did not attend a single session. I will admit that right now. I spent all of my time talking to people, pretty much. And that's, to me, that's the value of DrupalCon, is to have all of those people there. And there's also, I mean, for me, there's a regenerative energy. I've been in the community for a very long time, like many others, and I've gone up and down in terms of my energy and my focus and my time and things like that. But every time I get together at DrupalCon, there's always these moments and these interactions that I have that inspire me in some way. And it's like being able to be in a large group like that and be able to find those sources of inspiration, to me, is that's what's worth it, and that's what keeps me going back to them every time.
Yeah, absolutely. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the site. The keynote for one, Whitney's keynote, but then I went to a couple sessions. We did one BOF, and the rest of the time I just hung out around the booth and talked to people, or at the Lullabot party around the pool talking to people. It was an exhausting week, but it was so much fun to just get in and see what other people are working on, what sort of projects they have, where they're struggling. And it's, you get such a diverse group there. Everyone from front-end developers, back-end developers, project managers. It's everyone just trying to pick up something new. And I think you're absolutely right. The benefit is the people. You can go back and watch the sessions. There's an entire playlist that the Drupal Association's put together on YouTube. And I've actually, just before the podcast, was going through and adding a ton of them to my watch later. So my pocket is now full of watch later videos that I want to go back and check out. So I'd say anyone who's considering going, or if you're trying to convince your boss to go, it's about the people, it's about the networking, it's about learning from other people while you're there, and bumping elbows, and it's invigorating. Every time I come away from a DrupalCon, I'm like, I've really got to put the reins on myself, otherwise I'm going to burn out just diving in. I want to go start hacking on this and doing all this. I need to get into the issue queue and start fixing everything, and it can be dangerous sometimes when you're impassioned that way.
Get a little too wired up.
Seriously. But it's fun. It's so great.
I have to echo, just as a first-time visitor to DrupalCon, I've been a part of a number of technical communities, and the Drupal community itself is incredible. I mean, what a really nice bunch of people. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway I had coming away, was everybody's down there with kind of a common goal, and everybody's friendly and interesting to talk to, which amongst developers, you can understand sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenge. You know, often people are introverted and, you know, maybe not that up for the chatter. But yeah, DrupalCon, it's incredible. If you have not been down there, definitely put that on your bucket list.
Okay, so let's go ahead and just take a break here to cover some of our news and events. Obviously, as we've been listening along, we've gotten some big news. We've got the locations of the next upcoming DrupalCons. We've got DrupalCon Asia. Man, I hope I get to go to that, but we'll see. And then obviously next year, we've got DrupalCon New Orleans. I am so going to be there. Other than that, we've got DrupalCamp Colorado coming up June 19th through the 21st. This is going to be a good one. Lots of training on Friday. Going to be lots of bots. In fact, Chris on this very podcast is teaching a full-day training on site building with panels. Also, our very own Matthew Tift, who is also on this podcast, is one of the keynote speakers, so I highly recommend you check that out. And then Chris and Elena, also on this podcast, have proposed a AccessiBots session on accessibility, so I highly recommend DrupalCamp Colorado. Other than that, in the Drupalize Me world, we just started this, we started our new Solr and Search API series with our very own Joe Schindler. This has actually been a highly anticipated and requested series, so I highly recommend you get your Solr on and check this one out. Other than that, that's the news and events.
So speaking of, we talked about keynotes and we talked about the real reason most of us go, but did anybody go to any sessions, or like, what was the feeling of like sessions in terms of the tracks that were there? Awesome sessions that stood out, or awesome sessions that you're putting in your list that you didn't get to go to, or BOFs or that kind of thing?
I went to a really good session by the Drupal Association talking about some of the things they're doing on Drupal.org to improve the contributor experience. Mm-hmm. And I left that feeling really good about where the association is headed and all of the things that they're doing. I also attended the board meeting while I was there, and I do feel very hopeful about all of the changes coming down from the Drupal Association and in the types of things that they're doing to improve the community.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, there's a board member on the call here.
I think one of the most interesting sessions for me, there were two particularly that kind of, or three, I guess, that stuck out for me. Wim Lears did a Drupal 8 render pipeline, which, you know, I come from an object-oriented background, and so it made a whole lot of things go thunk in my head and furthered my understanding of 8 and kind of the focus there. I found that really helpful. The other, I think probably my favorite, was Amber Metz and Greg Dunlap and Joe Schindler did a session on documentation, which, coming from, you know, outside of the Drupal sphere and getting my feet wet, I think that's one of the things that is somewhat lacking in the public face of it is documentation. And it was really interesting to sit in that session. You know, I sat in a number of them, and, you know, sometimes there would be a few people asking questions at the end, but the documentation session, there were lots of people who were clearly very passionate about making some change and pushing things forward there. So I thought that was inspiring, and I am, you know, really looking forward to diving in and helping with that too. And then I think the other one would be Joe Schindler. Just, you know, he's a teammate of mine with the Drupalize Me folks, and just watching him in action is a real pleasure. I watched a couple of his sessions, and he's a wizard. It was wonderful to see.
Oh, I gotta say, the Drupal 8 caching layers. Wim Lears and Fabian Franz had a presentation on making Drupal 8 the fastest Drupal ever. And the demonstration that they had, Fabian had a great demo of doing multiple different caching. It was a whole new terminology that I need to go back and rewatch it and start looking at it. But just amazing things, and how fast you could get a page to load by implementing these different caching strategies. I think it's going to be a real game changer for how we do a lot of things, especially with some of the high-end sites that we've done where we've got multiple caching layers sitting in front of a Drupal server. It's going to be really, really awesome to get into some of that and extend what they're doing.
I know that for me, I didn't get to this session there. I had to watch it later, but I had a talk with Mike Potter, the maintainer of features module, before his session about features for Drupal 8. And he said that he started porting features to Drupal 8 about 3 weeks before the con, and that he expected to get maybe some Drush commands working he could demo or something like that, but that what he ended up doing was actually having a beta version of features done in
what?
3 weeks.
Whoa!
Whoa!
And he basically said that CMI was the reason that he was able to do that, and that made me feel really good because
nice.
I've obviously talked a lot about, you know, the difficulty that I had running that initiative, but to see it all come together like that, and to see everybody kind of being really impressed by CMI and being really excited about it, and to see contrib projects growing around it and all of this stuff, it's really satisfying. It makes me really happy and really proud of the work that we did on that.
What about you, Helena?
Well, I loved Marissa Epstein's session, which is funny because I'm not a designer. I'm a front-end developer, but she gave this session on the psychology of design, designing for brains, the psychology of user experience. And it was so interesting to climb into the user's head and kind of study how they think about things and how the attention span works. And it was really, really intriguing.
So the accessibility session, I went... Oh, wait, I didn't go to an accessibility session because there was more than none.
Womp, womp.
We had a bot, though. The Accessibots were there, and we did a little talk about accessibility. And it actually went really well. So we had about 20 people show up for that and got a lot of really good information and had a good discussion between people and learning where we need to focus better. So hopefully
Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm done.
No, I just got so excited. Sorry. No, I really enjoyed doing the BOF because I feel like instead of just imparting knowledge, we got to learn things too. Like, I know I walked away with new information from people that were there at the BOF, and I was like, yay, new toys. So that was really, really exciting.
Are you guys going to, do you know if there'll be like, are you guys planning to try and push for accessibility stuff in Barcelona? The next DrupalCon that's coming up?
That's a great question. I am trying to figure out whether I can afford to make it there or not. So if I guess I will submit a session for it, and if it gets accepted and I can make it out there, then absolutely. If it doesn't get accepted, then it's going to be a little bit of a strain on the pocketbook. But right now the plan is to do it.
Cool. Awesome. I would love to see that.
I don't think I'll be able to make it to Barcelona, but I am making it to Colorado. And
that's
we
right.
have a session proposed there. We've got a session at the Higher Ed Summit at NICE Camp in July.
Cool.
And I've also proposed another session for NICE Camp in July about like the financial impacts of accessibility and how to make it happen without destroying your project's budget. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. Rock the camps. Get it all lined up for DrupalCon New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know about y'all, but Drupal Camp Mumbai, or DrupalCon Mumbai, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's people already booking their flights for this one, finding out where they're going to go eat.
Yeah, actually, I think it's a very high probability that I will be in India. We're talking about taking a vacation like down in Goa for like a week or two and then doing DrupalCon, so...
Nice.
Gonna rock the February, man. Cool. Well, yeah, and I guess, yeah, I didn't do sessions. For me, like I said, it was a lot of the conversations. For me, actually, of course, I'm a new board member, and we had the board retreat the Saturday and Sunday before all the DrupalCon stuff started up, which was awesome. And I'm not gonna go into all of that stuff necessarily here, but I am starting to write some blog posts about it for anybody who's interested in what it's all been like. But I had a lot of conversations, and we had the public board meeting that, Matthew said he attended as well. But I had lots of really good conversations with people about what community means and what are we doing and the size of our community and the board and the Drupal Association's place in that, which is always sort of this like fuzzy space that people either don't care about at all, or if they care at all, they tend to have very strong opinions about it. And so that was really, it's the first time, like, that particular thing has been such a focus for me in terms of the conversations I was having. Yeah, for me, like, and again, like, it's very inspiring, even if people are complaining, if that makes sense. It's really inspiring to me to want to work on how to make things better and, like, all aspects of the things that kind of come up. Like, I think that's the thing with Drupal, kind of like Chris, you were saying, like, you tend to get really wired up and, like, kind of gung-ho, and you just want to do all the things, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like all of these things and all these people who are passionate about this thing, and it's like, I want to do that. I want to keep that feeling. I want to carry that thing with me and keep that energy. But of course, if you maintain that energy nonstop for a long period of time, you tend to fall on the ground. So, so I've been taking a little bit of a break, but I will dive back into it. Did anybody get Drupal flu?
I think everybody had that on Thursday. You walk around the conference hall on Thursday and it's just... There are seriously people laying on the floor.
Well, is that Drupal flu or is that being hungover?
Or just exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Just the exhaustion of it all.
I have little kids, so germs, they mean nothing to me.
Yeah, I taught preschool for a few years, so you can't scare me. There's no germ getting in.
I think I got Drupal toe from walking so much. I came back with a sore toe.
Yeah, the hotel was pretty far away from the venue. There was a lot of walking involved, in addition to just the standing and walking of the event itself. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, and everyone seemed scattered around different hotels, so you didn't get that atmosphere that you often get at DrupalCon, where there really is a central hotel where any time, day or night, that you come home, there's a gaggle of Drupalers in the lobby that you can hang out and talk to. And there's always something going on, and there's always people hanging out in the lobby. Like after parties, the hotel lobby is really the social hub of DrupalCons, and we didn't really get much of that this year.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like everything was pretty spread out, too.
I did learn the valuable lesson of packing sneakers. And
oh, no.
I packed flats and heels. That was not a good idea.
No.
I remember one day, me and Eaton and somebody else and Helena were walking from the venue to the hall, and Helena had her heels on, and I was leaned over to Eaton, and I'm like, is this really going to happen? And it didn't. She changed about halfway.
I almost made it. I was right around the corner.
comfortable shoes, comfortable clothes. That's what DrupalCon is to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my entire life is. I'm kidding. But particularly at DrupalCon, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I just have one question.
Mm-hmm.
What the F happened with the coffee?
Oh,
I don't know. What did? Like, I'm not a coffee drinker, and I generally don't drink, like, the big coffee in the big pots at conferences. So I, like, would go out to a coffee shop for coffee when I wanted it. So what did happen? Like, I'm not even aware of this.
See, I got spoiled because my first DrupalCon was Denver, and the coffee situation was great. There were tables of it everywhere. You could wait behind like two people and you were in and you got your coffee and it was free and it was wonderful. This one, so we had the coffee break right after the keynotes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the first day they yanked the coffee when time was up, not when it was empty, and people threw a riot.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the second day, they're like, okay, we'll leave it out till it's gone. But then after that, there's just one tiny little cart in the middle of the exhibitor hall with, you know, two or three people losing their minds trying to serve thousands of people. And you got these little cups, and the line was, like, through the lunchroom. And so I'm like, well, I can't wait for this. I got a session to get to. So I sprinted across the street to the Starbucks, and that line was out the door with people wearing badges. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So it's like, I know we know how to serve coffee. I've seen it done. So it was probably, I'm guessing it was something to do with supporting the local business, and there were supporter or sponsors that paid for the coffee for us, and or somehow, I don't know, we were still paying for it. I'm assuming it was something like that. That's an assumption on my part. But still, with that many people, especially on a Thursday, I feel like we need to improvise a better situation for this next year, if it's not there.
Okay, I was very thankful that Jean Rain was handing out 5-hour energy shots.
Yes.
I abused their booth. I
think a lot
of
people did.
I took more than my fair share of swag from that booth.
If I was going to guess, and I've been involved in a lot of DrupalCon planning in the past, coffee's expensive. It's coffee at conferences is expensive. And one of the major criticisms of DrupalCons that's been leveled over the last several years is that, as Matt pointed out, they're getting very businessy, and as they've gotten more businessy and the economy of Drupal has grown, they've gotten more expensive to put on. Ticket prices are becoming less accessible to individual developers or people who aren't being sponsored by companies, and so it's you know, they need a way to cut costs and try and balance the needs of the community and the needs to put on an affordable conference with the fact that they have to put on a conference. Again, I wasn't involved in this specific conference, and so I don't know for sure, but I would hazard a guess that the Drupal Association knows that we all like coffee and lots of it, and that this is probably just one of those balancing acts that came into play.
That's a very good point, Greg.
And I organize the local Drupal camp, and I have in the past, and I'm sympathetic. It's like being a server. Like, I don't criticize servers now, and it's tough for me to criticize the coffee, but there was one point on the first day that was quite humorous to me, which is the keynote, Teresa's keynote went long, and then the coffee was supposed to be out, and then there was a line of people and they started taking it away, and all these other people are trying to go along with this rolling cart trying to get their coffee at the last second. It was quite funny. So that Holly mentioned that the second day, we fixed that.
Yeah.
Don't take it away mid-cup.
My cold, dead hand. Coffee. Mm-hmm. It's expensive.
Yeah. I'd say, especially at conference centers.
Well, that's the thing, because it's not like you can like bring in whatever coffee you want or do whatever you want. You're stuck. Like, they have you, you know, and you're kind of like, kind of your back ends up getting pushed to the wall. The larger venue, the more your back is pushed to the wall in terms of what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And they set the price, and that's simply what it is, even if it's ridiculously unreasonable.
It's the same thing with food. People complain about conference food all the time, but there's no options. A lot of times you can't even say, we don't want you to serve food as part of our conference. Like, you have a conference and you have their food, or that's it. And so, I mean, you know, yes, conference food is often crappy, but I also understand that that's just sort of the hole that you get shoved into sometimes.
Yeah, and especially with cons the size that they are, the kinds of venues that we are limited to tend to be, these big venues tend to have all of these restrictions about how all of that stuff works. It's not like you can just, you know, go into whatever smaller venue that will fit, you know, 300 or 500 people and sort of make that work as well. You're not as flexible with that stuff.
But to their credit, I mean, conference food usually is legendarily bad, but those tacos were good.
Yeah, I really don't have, I mean, we're picking out the finer points here to try and patch on. I was honestly overall very impressed with everything. I've had terrible conference food before, as I'm sure many of us had, and that was actually really good. I was happy with the food. I never waited really long in line for it. Sure, there could have been a little bit more coffee, but they had it out for us. They had the cafe open, and there was plenty of stuff next door. I really thought it was well done overall. I don't want to sit here and just complain about every little nitpicky thing we could find. I really enjoyed and I think they did a good job with it.
I mean, when you look back to past DrupalCons and the enormous amounts of drama and complaints that have come out of them, the fact that we are sitting here talking about the coffee and the food is I think, again, a testament to the fact that the DA has really streamlined a lot of these problems, and that, you know, this process of putting on DrupalCons has really become amazingly solid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there are a lot of people and a lot of great sessions and conversations. And again, to me, like, that's the real value, and it totally delivered in spades for me. So groovy. Well, we should probably wrap things up. But does anybody have any other last shout outs, things you wanted to raise or announcements you wanted to make or anything like that before we wrap this one up, put it in the can?
I'd like to personally thank anyone who had to listen to me rant about anything all week long.
You're welcome.
It's something I apparently am very good at.
Would you like a rant? I am the person you should speak with.
There's only one answer to that, and it's never yes.
I have to disagree, Greg. It was great to listen to some of them.
Awesome.
And can I throw in another plug here, Addison?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I will say that if you want to hear more about the Drupal Association, there will be an update. There will be an upcoming podcast where I'm interviewing Holly Ross, the executive director of the Drupal Association, on another Lullabot podcast called Hacking Culture. So you can check that out sometime in early June.
Cool. Awesome. I'm looking forward to that podcast. Actually, your whole series is pretty awesome. Hacking Culture is a really great podcast.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's fun to make.
Alrighty, folks. Well, DrupalCon LA. Next DrupalCon is going to be DrupalCon Barcelona, the end of September. I'm definitely going to be there. I'm very excited about that. But, you know, it's an easy flight for me. It's much better than this, like, going to the other side of the world thing. DrupalCon India in Mumbai is in February, and then DrupalCon New Orleans will be May, like, 9th. I think it's May 9th through 13th, 2016. So, yeah, catch a DrupalCon if you can. They're awesome. All right, well, thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you all coming on, taking the time to share your experiences and your thoughts. If our listeners out there, if you've got comments or thoughts, questions, if you have ideas for podcasts that you would like to hear, please let us know. You can leave your comments on the podcast page itself, or you can get in touch with us directly through Twitter, twitter.com/DrupalizeMe, Facebook, same thing, facebook.com/DrupalizeMe, or you can go to drupalize.me, our website, and go to our contact page there and shoot us an email. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to get ideas for what you all want to have on the podcast. We've gotten some really great suggestions, and they've been some of our better podcasts out there, I think. So yeah, happy Drupaling, everybody, and I'll talk to you all next time. See ya.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.